So we will discuss chapter 15 today. It's a amazingly beautiful chapter because it describes Vaikuntha. Right? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tatom Jayamudire Nashta Prayeshu Bhadreshu Bhagavata se Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanayata Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. So chapter 15, the description of the kingdom of God. Text 1. Maitreya uvacha prajapatyam tu tatteja partejo hanam diti dadara varashani shatam shankamana suradhanat.
Sri Maitreya said, "My dear Vidu, Diti, the wife of the sage Kashyap, could understand that the sons within her womb would be a cause of disturbance to the demigods. As such, she continuously bore the powerful semen of Kashyap Muni, which was meant to give trouble to others, for 100 years.
Okay, so Prajapatyam tutateja partejo hanam diti. So the teja of Kashyapa and the offspring of Kashyapa would destroy the offspring of others. Right? So his teja would do partejo hanam. The other offspring they would destroy. So that is indicated. So anyway, dadar varshani shatam, for 100 years she didn't give birth to the children. Why? Because shankamana surardhanat, she was worried that my children would give trouble to the demigods. Right? Shankamana surardhanat. But actually, although she is worried, but her main worry is that, her main worry is for her sons. Because she knows that my son will trouble the demigods and then Vishnu will appear to kill them. Right? So one may actually think that she didn't give birth to the children because she is very concerned about demigods. And that concern may be there, but more concern is for the welfare of her own children. Right? For the welfare of her own children. So therefore she was more worried that my offspring would be killed, my lord. Right? So because of that worry, she didn't give birth for 100 years. Text 2. Loke tena hata loke. Lokapala hato jasa. Nivedayan vishwasrije. Dhvantavati karam disham.
By the force of pregnancy of Diti, the light of sun and moon was impaired in all the planets. And the demigods of various planets being disturbed by that force asked the creator of universe Brahma, "What is this expansion of darkness in all directions?"
Okay, so he described that by the power of this pregnancy of Diti, loke ten ahata loke. Right? The loke refers to all the universe, and ten ahata, what was destroyed? Alok. Right? Alok is the light, you know. You know, lok and alok word. So alok is the planets lost their light. Means what? Sun became dim by the power. You know, there are some natural effulgence. Not just that. Just like even people on their faces have some natural glow, you know. Prabhupada would say now the devotees who practice devotion service, the natural glow on their face increase, right? Prabhupada would say my devotees are bright faced, right? So everyone is very impressed to see bright faced devotees like that, you know. So the demigods are also very bright faced, but their face become dull. The sun, all the planets lost their effulgence, described by the, such was the power of the pregnancy of Diti. Such was the power within the womb. Imagine what will be the power when they come out. You know, within the womb they stole the splendor of the luminaries. Can you imagine? Right? And the demigods lost their effulgence because of being worried, you know. So that has been described over here. So then the demigods, then they approach in that fearsome situation, they approach Lord Brahma. Nivedayan Vishwasrije, right? They approach Brahma, who is the secondary creator, who is mentioned here as Vishwasrije. Text 3. Devaha Uchu. तमेतद्विभोवेत संविग्नायद्वयं वृषं नहि व्यक्तं भगवता कालेन स्पृष्टवर्त्मना.
The fortunate demigod said, O great one, just see this darkness which you know very well and which is causing the anxieties. Because the influence of time cannot touch you, there is nothing unmanifest before you.
Okay, so Prabhupada says Brahma is addressed herein as Vibhu, as the personality of Godhead. He is the supreme personality of Godhead's incarnation of the mode of passion in the material world. He is non-different in the representative sense. So here is said that nahi vyaktam bhagavata kalena asprishta vartmana, right? That the influence of time cannot touch you is mentioned. What does that mean? आपको काल आपको स्पर्श नहीं कर सकता. योर वेज वॉट एवर इज मैंशनड हेयर. इफ यू सी कालेन अस्पृष्ट वर्तमना. वर्तमना मीन्स द वे यू वॉन्ट टू डू थिंग्स एटसेट्रा. यू नो योर पाथ कैनॉट बी ऑब्स्ट्रक्टेड बाय द टाइम फैक्टर. वॉट डज इट मीन? फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल, वॉट इज द लाइन मीन्स? Now, what is the meaning of the line that Kaal cannot touch? What is the effect of time? Yeah, the effect of time is destruction, basically, right? So he said that actually, your vision is infallible, your knowledge is infallible. You receive knowledge from Lord Himself. Right, so Kaal cannot destroy that knowledge. Right, so therefore we see that how we see, although even devotee circle, you see, although Prabhupada was growing old, but his enthusiasm to serve was not diminishing. The Kaal was not able to destroy that. Auspriest, right? In this world, a person grows old, then government say, okay, now retirement, now you relax. Right? Gradually his enthusiasm, everything goes down, you know. But a devotee's enthusiasm to serve Krishna doesn't go down with age. It's not touched by that, the kal factor, right? Similarly, the knowledge of Krishna consciousness is not destroyed by the time. It may be covered over some time, but then it's not destroyed, right? So therefore, the basically what we're discussing is that devotional service or the transcendental knowledge, right? Yeah, the spiritual activities and enthusiasm, they are not destroyed by time. Therefore, Lord Brahma's, right, his germination, his knowledge is not obstructed by time or not destroyed. A spiritual not touched means not destroyed. Right? Because the kal has a destructive influence. So the demigods are praising Lord Brahma in this way. Go to text 4. Deva Deva Jagaddhatar Lokanath Shikhamane Paresham Paresham Tvam Bhutanamasi Bhavavit.
O God of the demigods, sustainer of the universe, head jewel of all the demigods in other planets, you know the intention of all living entities in both the spiritual and material worlds.
Okay, so they are saying that how O Deva Deva Jagat Dhatar Lokanath Shikhamane, right? That the word Shikhamane or the same as the word Shiromani, right? Shiromani, you heard the word Shiromani. If you call somebody as Shiromani, right? Just like Lord Chaitanya is called as Nyasi Shiromani. Nyasi Shiromani means what? Jo sannyasis crown pehante hain, unke crown mein jo mani hoti hai, you are that money. You know, Shiromani, the people put a crown on their head and there is a money in the crown. That is known as Shiromani, you know. Shiromani. Crest jewel. Shiromani, the English translation, crest jewel. Means what? Actually, Shiromani word indicates the best. Like among all the monies you have, the best one you put on your crown, you know. They took Kohinoor jewel from India, this diamond, and the queen said, it should be on my crown, you know. So the best jewel a person has, he would like to put it on the crown end, because it is visible to everyone very clearly, you know. So the word Shiromani indicates best. And so Lord Chaitanya is a Nyasi Shiromani. It doesn't mean that some sannyasi is maybe wearing a crown and Lord Chaitanya is like a jewel. Literal meaning of Shiromani is the best. If you say this person is the best, it's indicated as Shiromani, you know, because the money in the crown on the head is the best among all. So that is the term used, you know. So he thinks you are the Lokanatha Shikhamane or Shiromane, right? Shikha or Shiro is the same meaning. So that you are of, there are so many Lokanath, right? There are so many lords. All the demigods are lords in their capacity, but you are the best among them, the demigods are saying. And they are saying Paresham Aparesham Tum Bhutanam Asi Bhavavit. You know the intention of all living entities, right? Paresham Aparesham. Vishwanath Thakur says lower and higher planets, basically. Prabhupada here says lower means material worlds, higher means spiritual world. Or right, or it could also mean the lower living entities in the lower grades of bodies and the higher, right? Both. So he said, you actually, they want to say, you know everything. You know everything, so please therefore tell us, right? You are aware of everything. You are aware of the intentions of all living being also. Therefore, what will these people do, you know, when they come out? Not only the darkness is spreading, So that's how they are asking. And Prabhupada says in the purport, can someone read the first 6-7 lines of the purport?
Because Brahma is almost on an equal footing with the personality of Godhead, he is addressed here as the God of demigods. And because he is a secondary creator for this universe, he is addressed as the sustainer of the universe. He is the head of all the demigods, and therefore he is addressed here as the head jewel of the demigods. It is not difficult for him to understand everything which is happening in both the spiritual and material worlds.
Yeah. Okay, so Lord Brahma, we know that Krishna is the maintainer, we call, but Lord Brahma is also the maintainer. Right? And Prabhupada says he is almost on an equal footing with the personality of Godhead. Right? Almost on equal footing. His position is very high actually. And in the last paragraph, Prabhupada says, if you see the third line, last purport, he is non-different in the representative sense. Right? Within this material universe, he is representing Krishna. So he is non-different. Right? He knows Trikalagya, he knows the intention of all living entities, and therefore he can also be called as the maintainer of everyone, so like that, because he's the representative of the Lord. Yes. That's what I'm saying, that Prabhupada translated it like this, Paresham, Aparesham, Tum. Lord Brahma knows the intention of all living entities in the spiritual world also, because it will be described that what is the bhav of those who serve the Krishna in the spiritual world. You know, Lord Brahma will describe that what is the other flower thinks, what Tulsi, what the bird sing about the humming bee, that we will study. So therefore, that Lord Brahma is almost on equal footing, the Lord. He knows what is the intention or the bhav of seva in the spiritual world. Right? So how each living entity has that desire to serve Krishna in various capacity. Right? And the material world also, he knows how everyone is bewildered by Maya, right? Had turned their face against Krishna. That also he describes elaborately in his various prayers. Right? So like that. So therefore he understands the intention at both the places. Right? As I said, and then the more it applies, Paresham, Aparesham, lower and higher. Could be in the living entities within lower planets, higher planets, within the lower species, higher species, and Prabhupada gives it within the material world and the spiritual world also, right? So basically, all knowing, Lord Brahma is all knowing. Text 5. Namo Vijnana Viryaya Maya Yedam Upeyushe ग्रहीत गुण भेदाया नमस्ते व्यक्त योनये.
O original source of strength and scientific knowledge, all obeisances unto you. You have accepted the differentiated mode of passion from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. With the help of external energy, you are born of the unmanifested source. All obeisances unto you.
So, the demigods glorify Namo Vijnana Viryaya, right? Original source of strength and scientific knowledge. So you accept the body, Maya Edam Upeyushe, right? Given by the Lord's Maya energy composed of Rajogun, Grahit Gun Bhedaya, Namaste Avyakta Yonaye, right? You are born of the unmanifest source. What is that unmanifested source? Supreme Lord. Right? Supreme Lord is not manifested to everyone's eye. Right? So therefore, it says you are born of the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada says that in the fourth line of the purport, he is born directly from the transcendental body of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, which is never seen by any creature of the material universe, and therefore always remain unmanifested. Right? That is the meaning of avyakta yonaye, that your source is You are from an unmanifested source, you are born from there, which indicates the Supreme Lord, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Guru text 6. Yes. Yeah, text 5. Yeah, Vishwanath Thakur says he's composed of his body is composed of Rajaguna, he says. Let's read the translation. Text 5. We offer respects to you who have power of knowledge, who have accepted a body by the Lord's Maya composed of Rajaguna. Composed of intelligence, you are saying? Yeah, so, well, I will have to just see technically how do we put in, but we know that how he is the guna avatar, we know, so it's related to that, right? So his body is given by the Lord's material energy, maya edam upeyushe, within the purport Vishwanath Thakur says you have accepted the body given by the Lord's maya, right? Given by the Lord's maya, and prominently is taking charge of the mode of passion, right? So technically, how do we understand? I can't exactly explain, you know, that technicality, right? But the meaning is pretty clear here, that how he's he's in charge, right? He's incarnation of who takes guna avatara, basically. It indicates guna avatara, taking charge of the mode of the passion, right? Yeah.
In various places we see the Prabhupada writes that ki by properly performing the Garbhadham samskara and other samskaras, one can be taken to the right path and perfect the life.
Hmm.
Whereas the sage Kashyapa is one of the Prajapati, before birth, just conceiving time is wrong, and before the birth also he predicts the future of their children. Like they will be born in the demoniac family.
Hmm.
So will he not be in a position to perform all these rituals and give them proper guidance, being a sage? And another contradiction comes that ki the even though we hear that ki people take birth as per their past karma, but here the two associates of the Lord who are coming in the form of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, they have no any sinful background. They are associates, they are directly coming. How they can influence the whole universe and take away the light of illuminaries? So how it is, like in what context we should understand them?
You don't confuse them with the we called that the greatest demon Prahlad Maharaj called them Asura Varya, the best of the demons. Prabhupada says this. Prabhupada 10,000 times called them demons, you know, in his books, right? Demons. So you don't confuse that them with the eternal associate of the Lord, right? So that aspect is there, that how they have come here, but now they are in the body of demon. So then they now in their role, they are playing the role of a demon, right? They are against the Supreme Lord. They are fighting Supreme Lord. Now, one perspective is everything is happening by the will of the Lord. They fell down and everything, right? That's fine. Now what is their position now? That we have to see, right? So they have now accepted the body of the demon. They are against the as a demon. They are against the Brahminical principles, right? As demons, they are fighting with the demigods, tormenting them, tormenting the Brahmanas. So now they are in the place of the demons. So you don't confuse those two. That's the whole thing. The Vritrasura, everybody, you know, he's also a great Mahabhagat ultimately, but then he fights with Indra, you know, and everything. So now they're in this position of demons, So they have accepted that position and they act in that position perfectly. Yeah. Oh, no, you were saying Kashyapa Muni. So Kashyapa Muni understood that now these two demons have taken the, because we conceived at the wrong time. So that children born will be the demons, right? So now it's not rectifiable. You know, he understands this, that these two demons will appear now, who will oppose the Supreme Lord. So we should not mix that perspective, right? We should not mix that perspective. Now we have to take the perspective of what is happening in this. They have been cursed to become demons. So they will be exactly like demons now, you know. They will be exactly like demons now. They will be perfectly playing that part. Of which many people, so we here learn that there are so many people who out of their will act like that, you know, oppose the Supreme Lord. So therefore Prabhupada draws all the lessons. In this world, whoever is against the Supreme Lord is not by the will of the Supreme Lord. There are two special cases, you know. So therefore, but we derive lessons that they are in the position of demons. How they are opposing and how they are stealing away the luminaries, that the demons can be so powerful, you know, that they may, because of, they cause depression, how powerful demons they were. So you don't mix the two. You don't mix the two. Now they are in a position of demons, right? They are going to perfectly play the part of demons. Right? So the mixing the two will be difficult. Again, it's the same thing. I'm saying that everyone comes from the spiritual world ultimately. You know. So if you mix the two perspectives, then it's difficult to, you know, so therefore now they have to be considered demon in this particular, you know, past time we are studying, they are the demons, so they are stealing the luminaries. And ordinarily the Garbhadhan samskar was not done, like because he conceived these two at the wrong place, so the mistake has been done. So he realized now it cannot be undone. In some ordinary cases there may be some measures, you know. In ordinary cases, there may be some measures if someone has considered a wrong time, this and that. There may be some few more reformatory processes to undo that. But in this case, he understood not these two demons have already taken shelter of the womb. Yeah? So the principle remains, he understands. If a person conceives at the wrong time, then demonic souls may take shelter. But if there is a divine soul of shelter, now they are in the, they are the demons that have taken shelter now, not the, that's, that path is separate now, that they are actually the Vaikuntha, right? But then everyone is from Vaikuntha originally. So then there is no question of demon and demigods. Right? If you say, oh, now that the one Shankara have been born, right? If there is no Garadamskar, the one Shankara is born, so the souls which are demonic propensity, which is now conditioning, which is the superfluous covering, that has to be seen. So now the superfluous covering, this covering which is there, right, of this subtle body that accompanies the soul, right, so is there with every soul, right? So you don't confuse with the original thing now. Originally everyone is pure, right? But if a child is conceived at the right time, then the soul with a subtle body who is pure, which is a relatively pure subtle body, God who has inclination toward consciousness, that will be born. But if the child is conceived at a wrong time, then the pure soul but with the demonic subtle body, that will be born. Right? So now they are by the curse of the Brahmanas, now their mentality will be demonic. Although they are pure, but now the mentality will be demonic. So you understand that way. You understand the point. Every soul is pure otherwise. So you, but different mentalities are imposed upon the soul in this material world. Right? Like that. Okay. So is it clear? Is it clear? There is no confusion in that, right? no confusion that. Now they are pure, every living entity is pure, but then there are different mentalities now which are imposed upon the conditioned soul, and now they have been imposed with a demonic mentality by the curse of the sages. Okay, so text 6.
Yetuanen bhavena
bhavayante atma bhavanam
atmani prot bhuvanam
param sad asadatmakam.
O Lord, all these planets exist within yourself, and all the living entities are generated from you. Therefore, you are the cause of this universe, and anyone who meditates upon you without deviation attends devotional service.
You will see many times, sometimes the demigods praise Lord Brahma as if he is the supreme personality of Godhead. But then you should understand that yes, he is the supreme Lord in the representative sense. You know, that Prabhupada already clarified. So you must understand what applies to the Supreme Lord also applies to Lord Brahma, but partially, not fully. He is the creator, he knows what is in everyone's heart, you know, he is the maintainer also, because he takes charge of the this one universe. Each Brahma takes charge of one universe, the demigods report to him, right? He goes and intervenes in the administration also, right? He went to Priyavart Maharaj, asked him to rule, and at so many times he intervened, so he helped. So therefore, what applies to the Supreme Lord fully applies partially to Lord Brahma also. Therefore, don't confuse. You will see the number of prayers, it looks like they are praising the Supreme Personality of Godhead only. But Lord Brahma is, right, as Prabhupada says, is almost on the equal footing. Right? Like that, he is almost on the equal footing. He has been empowered by the Supreme Lord to carry out those functions. Right? Text 7. Tesham Supakva Yoganam Jitaswasendriya Atmanam Labda Yushmat Prasadanam Nakutaschit Parabhava.
There is no defeat in this material world for persons who control the mind and senses by controlling the breeding process, and who are therefore experienced mature mystics. This is because by such perfection in yoga they have attained your mercy.
Okay, so she is saying that those who receive your mercy, they are not defeated any time. Right? They are not defeated any time. So Prabhupada says that here the purpose of yogic performance is explained here. It is said an experienced mystic attains full control of senses and the mind by controlling the breathing process. Right? So therefore Prabhupada says the real purpose of yogic performance is to control the mind and the senses. Right? It is indicated herein that a yogi who has control over the mind and senses has the actual benediction of the Lord and he has no fear. So a person who has actually won over his enemies, 6 enemies, has no fear from any other enemies. Right? They are the real enemies. And so the demigods are saying that those who have actually won over the 6 internal enemies have nothing to fear outside. There is no external fear for them.
Yasya vacha praja sarva gavastante vayantrita haranti balim ayattas tasme mukhyayate namaha.
All the living entities within the universe are conducted by the Vedic directions, as a bull is directed by the rope attached to its nose. No one can violate the rules laid down in the Vedic literatures. To the chief person who has contributed the Vedas, we offer our respect.
Okay, Okay, so they are saying that you are in full control. To the chief person who has contributed to the Vedas, we offer our respects. Who is that chief person? Here they are referring to Brahma. Prabhu was a Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vedic literature, the laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One cannot violate the injunction given in the Vedic literature any more than one can violate the state laws. You see, Prabhupada in this and another one or two prayers, he applies the prayers to Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is right. Originally the Vedic knowledge comes from Brahma, but then it manifests through, comes from Supreme Lord, but it manifests through Brahma also. He speaks the four Vedas through his four mouths, right? Right? So therefore, to say that it comes through Brahma is also not wrong, right? Because he is the Supreme Lord in the representative sense. And there is an important statement actually to understand these prayers. Because most of the prayers they are saying, we usually read for the Supreme Lord. You know, the Vedas come from you, you are a maintainer of every living entity, you know the hearts and intention of all living entities, everything, you know, applies to the Supreme Lord directly. But then it applies to Brahma also. Okay, so therefore they are saying that you are in the ultimate control. By the Vedic injunction you control all living entities. By the Vedic injunction you control all living entities. So the words of the Vedas are like unseen ropes. You know how the bull is controlled through a rope through the nose, his pierce. Nowadays, of course, it's not allowed in many places. But the fierce bull is controlled through a rope going through the, you know, Bhagavatam is giving the example, going piercing his nose. So the bull becomes uncontrolled. You pull the rope, it experiences pain there, and it is controlled. The bull is controlled. Yeah. Therefore, the Vedic injunction controls all living entities actually in a similar way. How? Said the rules and regulation, just imagine that organization set up some rule and regulation, you know, that leave your slippers here, don't take your slippers ahead of this point, right? Everyone leaves the slippers, is not? People are controlled or not? Remove your slippers here, right? Slipper not allowed inside the temple, right? Then everyone deposits one slipper, is it not? Or slippers found here will be confiscated, and people, you know, people are controlled by in the train, you know, or in the flight, you see, or in trains, no smoking allowed here. No one smokes here, you know. People hide in between the two compartments in the train. You know, they try to, you know, override a little bit. You see, seen many times, but smoking not allowed inside. So in between the two bogies, they go, you know, find some space near the door and they smoke there, kind of, because. So if any organization, they write or they pronounce words, you know, that control people, is it not? That this is not allowed here. Not allowed means not allowed then. Then everyone's saying there, this is known as a vakatantriyam. Vakatantriyam means the rope of the words. So they are saying you are in the ultimate control. You control every living entity by the words of the Vedas. Someone said, oh, I will violate. You know, if someone violates, then actually he is punished, right? Someone may say, I can violate, you know, the traffic rules, you know, the government will put a walk tantrayam, you know. No, you can't speed above 60 kilometers. Speed limit 60 kilometers per hour, finish. And person is controlled. He said, I will drive, I have the accelerator in my, you know, under my foot. I will speed up the accelerator, right? And then the chalan, in the West the chalan comes to your home, you know, it is posted or whatever, you know, or there are some apps and it will appear on your mobile phone. You have been chalan, you know, and you have to pay it, otherwise you don't pay. So I am free, I may not pay, but then the vehicle will be confiscated. Punishment will come, right? So you won't be allowed to ride the vehicle then. It will be, yes, a fact actually, you know. So the more you try to become free from the injunction of the Vedas, or simple, you know, first, speed limit 60 km per hour. You are controlled. Finish. You know, people consider themselves to be independent. One word controls you. Speed limit 60 km per hour. Can't do anything now. He said, I can break free, but you are more constrained. First the chalan. I don't pay, then the vehicle is not allowed. And then further, then you are inside the prison. You know? So the more you try to break the Vedic injunction, the more your freedom is restricted actually. Is it not? So this is an important thing actually, you know. They're mentioning there, you actually control everyone through the Vedas, right? The Supreme Lord, Lord Brahma. So every living entity actually is bound by the injunction of the Vedas. They think they can break free, but they get more and more entangled actually. The simple example I explained, right? Like that. Over text 9. So tam vidhatsva shambhumam tamasa lupta karmanam adbhradaya adishtya apannan arhasikshitum.
The demigods prayed to Brahma, "Please look upon us mercifully, for we have fallen into miserable condition because of the darkness. All our work has been suspended."
So, Prabhupada says, because of complete darkness throughout the universe, the regular activities and engagements of all the different planets were suspended. In the north and south poles of this planet, there are sometimes no division of day and night. Similarly, when the sunlight does not approach the different planets within the universe, there is no distinction between day and night. Right? There are some places where it's just the day, you know, or it's just the night. Sunlight doesn't reach it, it's just the night. The very question of day then, you know. It's just continuous night for many, many months. Right? So the demigods, everywhere there was darkness was spreading. Right? So they said the work will be suspended like that. So they are asking him to look mercifully. Please rectify the situation. For you, so they praised him that you actually can do that. You know what is the cause of the problem and everyone is under your control. Surely you can do that. You know? So they glorified him that it's within your capacity to do that. And we can't do anything. And we have closed down the offices and come to you. You know, it's everywhere the darkness now. Like that. Text 10. Esha devadi tergarbha oja kashyapam arpitam nishastimirayan sarva vardhate agni rivedasi.
As fuel overloads a fire, so the embryo created by the semen of Kashyapa in the womb of Diti has caused complete darkness throughout the universe.
So as fuel overloads means expands the fire, right? So the embryo from the semen of Kashyapa is actually expanding the darkness throughout the universe. Right? So they are there. So, you know, one small thing I want to mention here is, can Lord Brahma not notice the darkness is expanding and everything? No? Brahma can also notice, right? He is within the universe only. And he's not like he's like totally absorbed in his own sense gratification, he's unaware, not like that. Responsible ruler. But the demigods, whenever in danger, they go and they express the problem explicitly. You know, therefore, sometimes many people assume that the person in charge, he knows the problem, you know. But still, you need to highlight the emergency of it. Sometimes many people assume that, you know, usko samajhna mangta hai, you know. Usko samajhna chahiye, you know. No, many times, you know, how much you are facing problem because of that, you need to highlight. Many times people assume, it is a mistake that people make. I am giving on management sutra, you know, from here. Many times people think that the management should understand, the leader should understand that I am suffering. No, you need to express it that how much you are suffering because of this. Management is aware, but you know, still that it's important for those who are suffering to express it, that I am actually being troubled a lot because of this, you know, all this happening. So then it brings to him the intensity and the urgency, and the person acts fast. You understand? So it's important actually. Many times the demigods go and do that. So the expression has this importance. You know? Similarly, many times we feel that, oh, I appreciate, you know, he will understand that I appreciate him. No, we never express it. And the person thinks that this person never appreciate me. This happens in sometimes close relationship. He said, he should understand, you know, that I appreciate him. He said, no, but you never expressed it. How does he understand? You know, you're not Paramatma, you know, in that sense. So whether it's appreciation, whether one wants to appreciate something or wants to express some concern, explicit expression of one's feeling has importance in actually devotee circle. One should not assume that this devotee should understand that I am very appreciative of his services, or the leader should understand that I am being troubled by this scenario. No. One should express it. If one doesn't express it, then one should not blame. You know? One should not say the person should understand and then rectify. If it is not rectifying, then what is happening? Is irresponsible, this and that. That without expressing, we assume many things. Right? So therefore, one should know that expression has its importance. Your feelings needs to be expressed. Whether you are feeling, so therefore, even one should express before the Lord also. It's important actually. Whatever is one's feeling, one should express to the Lord also. Right? Whether if one has gratitude, one should express it explicitly. Right? If one has some concern, one should express it. One should not just keep hiding and think that Krishna will understand, devotees will understand, you know, like that. Okay, so yes, this is a side point, just, yeah, we have many important points in the chapter actually, yeah, quickly. Yeah. Yeah, that is a journal thing, that how the Lord Shiva, if one conceives the wrong time, Lord Shiva puts. But this may not be through Lord Shiva, it could be, it's already they have been cursed to act as, you know, they have already been cursed by the Brahmanas, so it could be happening directly also. Right? But that indication is given for generic sense. Okay, we go to text 11. Maitreya Uvacha. Saprahasya Mahabaho. Bhagavan Shabda Gocharat. Pratyachastatma Bhurdevan. Prinan Ruchare Agra.
Sri Maitreya said, thus Lord Brahma, who is understood by the transcendental vibration, tried to satisfy the demigods, being pleased with their words of prayers.
Okay, so now Lord Brahma spoke to them. He was satisfied with their prayers, right? And he addresses their concern now. Brahma uvacha, manasa me suta yushmat. Purvajasanakadaya Cherurvihaya Salokal Lokeshu Vigatas Prihat.
Lord Brahma said, my four sons, Sanak, Sanatan, Sanandan, and Sanat Kumar, who were born from my mind, are your predecessors. Sometimes they travel throughout the material and spiritual skies without any definite desire.
Right. So demigods have come in emergency, and Brahma says, "Listen to an ancient story. You know, my sons went to Vaikuntha. Listen to that story, bro." Devata says, "Story is later. This is not the right time for stories. You know, it's an emergency situation." So Brahma says, "This story is related to your problem. So listen." So this story is related. So then the demigod started listening. Right? So Lord Brahma narrates this story and how his four Manasame Suta, his Manas sons, born from his mind, they had visited Vaikuntha. Right? Then Lord Brahma describes that.
Taekada
Bhagavato
Vaikunthasyam Malatmana ययुर्वैकुंठनीलयम् सर्वलोक नमस्कृतम्।
After thus traveling all over the universes, they also entered into the spiritual sky, for they were free from all material contamination. In the spiritual sky, there are spiritual planets known as Vaikunthas, which are the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His pure devotees, and are worshipped by the residents of all the material planets.
Okay, so they went to Vaikuntha, right? Ta ekda bhagavato Vaikunthasya amalatmana. So Vaikuntha, they went to Vaikuntha where only those who are amalatmana, completely purified, they can go, right? Or amalatmana refers to Supreme Lord, right? It means amalatmana refers to those who are purified souls, but it also refers to Supreme Lord, who purifies all atmas, all hearts, right? So amalatmana can refer to the Supreme Lord. They went to Vaikuntha, where resides the Lord who purifies everyone, right? Yayur Vaikuntha Nilayam Sarva Loka Namaskritam, another beautiful phrase. This Vaikuntha is offered obeisances or praised by Sarva Loka. Sarva Loka refers to the residents of all the lokas, as well as the presiding deities of all the loka, right? It is like Mother Earth is the presiding deity of this planet. So each planet has its presiding deity. So this, all the presiding deities of all the planets, they offer respects to Vaikuntha, Sarva Loka Namaskritam. As well as all the residents of all the planets, they offer respect to Vaikuntha Loka. Right? So therefore, there is a beautiful phrase, Sarva Loka Namaskritam. So they went to the Vaikuntha planets, which are respected, adored, worshipped by all.
Guru text 14. Vasanti yatra purusha sarve vaikuntha murtayah yena mitta nimittena dharmena aradayan harim.
In the Vaikuntha planets, all the residents are similar in form of the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. They all engage in devotional service to the Lord without desire for sensory gratification.
Okay, so 10 verses describe Vaikuntha. Very beautiful verses, you know, unparalleled verses. 10 verses give the description of Vaikuntha, very close. Very close description of Vaikuntha. They had gone inside the Vaikuntha and seen, you know, the sages, right? So, Prabhupada calls it that spiritual situation of the Vaikuntha world. So these 10 verses describe spiritual situation of the Vaikuntha world. Prabhupada uses that phrase in one of the purports. I'll highlight that when it comes. So these 10 verses describe what? What does it describe? So what does it describe? What did I see? Someone just noticed that phrase? Spiritual spiritual situation of the Vaikuntha world, the exact phrase, you know. You know, sometimes exact phrase used by acharyas has their own potency, you know. And if you repeat the exact phrase sometime, it has its own impact, its own potency. You can paraphrase always, but if you can recollect some exact phrases used by Prabhupada and the acharyas, it has its own potency. You know, so Prabhupada calls these 10 verses as what? Spiritual situation of the Vaikuntha world. You know, these 10 verses. Vasanti yatra purusha. So I have given a kind of one title for each verse. Just the one word, what does it describe? So this verse, text 14, describes Vaikunthavasis. Vasanti yatra purusha sarve Vaikuntha murtaya. They all have the form of the Supreme Lord, Vaikuntha murtaya. You know? Just like we sometimes say, he said, this Margari hunter, the term used for him was the death personified. You know, someone with very angry looks like anger personified. You know? So all the residents there are Vaikuntha murtaya. They are Vaikuntha personified. Who is the Vaikuntha murti? Lord Vishnu. Right? So they were same as Lord Vishnu. Their form is same as Lord Vishnu. Ye anmit nimittena. Very nicely. They are nimittena means engaged. Right? So they are engaged in what? Aradhayan harim. Dharmen aradhayan harim. They are engaged in worshipping the Supreme Lord Hari. Right? With what purpose? No purpose. Animittena. Ye animitta nimittena. Without any purpose. What does it mean without any purpose? No purpose of their own. Yeah. No purpose of their own. Only for the purpose of serving Krishna. The word animitta means, so they are engaged in worshipping Krishna. For what purpose? For no purpose of their own. Only for the purpose of worshipping Him. You know, sometimes we say, we are chanting. Why are you chanting? We are chanting so that we can chant more. Why you want to chant more? So that we can chant more. No, there is no purpose. That is the purpose only. Just serving Krishna only for the purpose of serving Him. That is the purpose. When this material world is not seen, you know, you are serving somebody. What do you want? You know, bahut seva bahut dikha rahe ho. Kya chahiye tumko batao? No, my purpose is only to serve you. No. Kya chahiye batao, you know? What do you want, you know? Everyone, you know? There is no question in this world that you are doing some service for the purpose of only service. You know, you want something from that service. But that concept doesn't exist in this world. So, but here, anamitta nimittena, they are engaged in serving Krishna only for the purpose of serving Krishna. Right? That is causeless. Nimitta means cause also. That is causeless loving devotional service. Right? The purpose is the same, just to serve the Lord. Right? That is their Vaikuntha Vasis are being described. No, text 15.
Yatra chadya pumanaste Bhagavan shabda gochara Sattvam vishtabhya virajam Swanam no mridayan vrishak.
In the Vaikuntha planets is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original person and who can be understood through the Vedic literature. He is full of the uncontaminated mode of goodness, with no place for passion or ignorance. He contributes religious progress for the devotees.
Okay, so this text 15, the second in the 10th, right, of the series. Like this is a Dash Vaikuntha Shotram, you know, kind of 10 verses. 10 verses describing Vaikuntha. So this verse describes Vaikuntha Pati, the Lord of the Vaikuntha. Yatra chadya pumanaste Bhagavan Shabda Gochara. So the Lord Shabda Gochara means we can only be understood by the transcendental sound vibration. Or Shabda Gochara means who is the object of all the prayers. Shabda Gochara. Satvam Vishtabhya Virajam. He is full of, he is situated in his pure Sattva Guna, which is free from all passion, Virajam. Raja means passion, Vir means without that. Swanam no Bridayan Vrisha. Right? But he is engaged, you know. Usually engagement means passion. So it ruled out. He is engaged here in some activity. But that activity is not out of passion, but for what? Swanam no Bridayan Vrisha. He is engaged in various activities only to enhance the pleasure of his devotees. Right? So it's a very reciprocal thing. The devotees, they are engaged in worshipping the Lord for the pleasure of the Lord. The Lord is also having various engagements only for enhancing the pleasure of his devotees. Swanam no mridayan vrishat. Right? So the devotees serve Krishna for no purpose of their own. Right? That is anamittena. But Krishna's purpose is to enhance the pleasure of devotees, right? So this is indicated in the two verses. Prabhupada says in the purport, the kingdom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual sky cannot be understood by any other process other than hearing from the description of the Vedas. No one can go see it. Shabd Gochara, Prabhupada is commenting on Shabd Gochara. Bhagavan Shabd Gochara. Text 16. Another beautiful meaning of the word Swanam no Mridayan Vrisha. That the Lord is engaged in increasing the pleasure of the devotees. Not just in Vaikuntha, Lord is engaged in, Prabhupada says, in the last line of the purport, last two, three lines, the Vaikuntha planets are very dear to the Vaishnavas, and for the progressive march of the Vaishnavas toward the kingdom of God, the Lord himself helps the devotees. Right? So the Lord is engaged for the pleasure of those who are there in Vaikuntha, but he is engaged for the progressive march of the other Vaishnavas who are in the material world, so that they can also join. These are his engagements. Text 16. Yatra naishrayasam nama vanam kama dugair druma sarvaritu shri bhira vibrajat kevalyam eva murtimat.
In those Vaikuntha planets, there are many forests which are very auspicious. In those forests, the trees are desire trees, and in all seasons, they are filled with the flowers and fruits, because everything in the Vaikuntha planets is spiritual and personal.
Okay, so this third verse describes what? Vaikuntha Druma, the trees, the forest of Vaikuntha. So yatra nahishriyasam nama, there is a forest of the name nihishriyasa over there, right? And its sarva ritu shribhir vibrajat, all the vanam kama dugair, all the trees are desire trees over there, right? And in every season they are filled with various fruits and flowers for the pleasure of the Lord, right? Kevalyam iva murtimat, all trees are bliss incarnate. Kevalyam eva murtimat. Right? So the everyone is situated in great transcendental bliss. So the trees are serving the Lord with various fruits and flowers, and they are situated in great transcendental bliss. Right? So the Vaikuntha trees are described in the third verse. Prabhupada says very nicely, in the Vaikuntha planets, the land, the trees, the fruits and flowers and the cows, everything is completely spiritual and personal. This is a very important statement for this understanding this 10 verses. Yeah. That will be understood there only. Right? So that's what that will be understood there only. How they still remain at the same time serve, right? Like that. So certain details can't be understood here, right? We have to accept certain limitations also, right? There are some limitations to understand. But everything is completely spiritual and personal. The fruits, the flowers, everything. Kaivalyam here is mentioned spiritual by Prabhupada, but Vishwanath Thakur says they are bliss. Kaivalyam also means bliss. Okay, so we go to text 17. Vaimanika salalana charitani shashvat gayanti yatra shamala shapanani bhartu antarjale anuvikshan madumadavinam gandhena khandita dhiyo penalinam shipanta.
In the Vaikuntha planets, the inhabitants fly in their aeroplanes accompanied by their wives and consorts and eternally sing of the character and activities of the Lord, which are always devoid of all inauspicious qualities. While singing the glories of the Lord, they deride even the presence of the blossoming Madhavi flowers, which are fragrant and laden with honey.
So Vaikuntha lalana, lalana means Vaimanika sa lalana, the women of Vaikuntha, right? They are described here that they ride various aeroplanes and they sing the glories of the Lord. And women in general are very fond of perfumes, you know. So they said there are very beautiful perfumes, but these women, they do not like that perfume because it distracts their mind from glorifying Krishna, you know. So it is very beautiful. Prabhupada says here, if you notice all these verses, they are having, see the verse, we description, we saw these verses from verse 14, right? Vasanti yatra purusha, yatra word is used, therein, it is described. So if you know, most of the verses have the word therein, then see the verse 15, right? Yatra, therein, chadya pumanaste, therein the Supreme Lord. See the verse 16, yatra naishrayasam nama, right? There in Vaikuntha, the word yatra is used to indicate therein, that Vaikuntha, the birds are like this, the trees are like this, the residents are like this, the Supreme Lord, what is he engaged in, right? It's a very beautiful description. Again and again the word yatra is used, therein, right? Bahut dur, in that Vaikuntha, which is not humanly accessible, hear the news of the Vaikuntha, right? Therein what happens, right? These are eternal activities of Vaikuntha. The word yatra, in the text 17 we are discussing again, gayanti yatra. What are the women, right? Very beautiful women they are doing. They are engaged in singing the glories of the Lord, right? Although they are very fond of perfumes, but they deride this sweet fragrance of this flowers mentioned over here, right? Madhavi flowers, which are very fragrant, you know. So Prabhupada says the last few lines of the purport, To smell the fragrance of a blossoming flower is certainly very nice, but it is simply for sense gratification. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha give first preference to the service of the Lord, not their own sense gratification. Serving the Lord in transcendental love yields such transcendental pleasure that in comparison, sense gratification is counted as insignificant. Right? If you know, if you see the woman, whenever they come, even if they come to temple, they are always seeing who is wearing which sari, oh, where did you purchase this sari from? You know, the women are very conscious of all these things, you know. This is observation, you know, they can't get out of the bodily concept of life. Oh, this perfume is very nice, this decoration is very nice, in our house we can also bring this decoration. So to for the women to take their mind out of the home and the family and the sari and the perfume, very difficult, right? But here I said Vaikuntha is not, that weakness is not there in the women. They derived this very sweet perfume, which is usually very dear, you know. They derived it and they give preference to singing the glories of Krishna. Right? They are Vaikuntha women, like that. So they don't carry the weakness, you know, of the women which are seen in this mortal world. Sorry? Yeah, but prominently Vaimanikas Lalana, the word is used. Right? They are along with their wives. So the wives, they like to sing, etc. They sing sweetly, the women. So prominently, all the refers to both, but the prominence here is of the Vaikuntha Lalanas. Right? They are not roaming independently. They are, you know, so like that. So, but the prominent description is of the Vaikuntha women. Right? They are singing the glories of the Lord, etc. Like that. All the refers to both. Okay, text 18. Paravatanyabhritasarasachakravaka Datyuhaham sashukatittaribarhinamyak Kolahalo virmate chiramatramuchyar Bhringadipe harikatham ivagayamane
When the king of the bees hums in the high pitch, singing the glories of the Lord, there is a temporary lull in the noise of the pigeon, the cuckoo, the crane, the chakravak, the swan, the parrot, the partridge, and the peacock. Such transcendental birds stop their own singing simply to hear the glories of the Lord.
Right, so the Vaikuntha birds are described, right? The Vaikuntha birds are described in this. Lull means they stop temporarily, right? So very, very beautiful, this is very amazing verse, right? Prabhupada says this verse reveals the absolute nature of Vaikuntha. Right? There is no difference between the birds there and the human residents. There is no difference because Prabhupada explained that because everyone is Krishna consciousness. They all engage in glorifying the Lord. Right? And then Prabhupada continues in the fourth or fifth line. Even the trees, the ground, the plant, the flower, the birds and the beasts all are on the level of Krishna consciousness. The special feature of Vaikuntha Loka is that there is no question of sense gratification. In the material world, even an ass employs his sound vibration. Even an ass enjoys his sound vibration. Right? In the material world, even an ass enjoys his sound vibration. But in the Vaikuntha Loka, such nice birds as the peacocks, the chakravak, and the cuckoo prefer to hear the vibration of the glories of the Lord from the bees. So this is very, very important actually. You know, So herein, usually you know that the bee is humming is not very sweet. There are many sweet birds. You know, but the bee had some great enthusiasm to glorify Krishna. So they all said, ah, okay, you glorify Krishna, you know. You know? So the sweet singing birds, you know, they stop, they slow down and say, let the bee have enthusiasm, you know, bee wants to glorify Krishna at the top of his voice. They all facilitate him. There's no envy, they say, chup raho, pehle awaaz, pehle apni awaaz to suno, record karke, you know. You know, so there is no that feeling, you know. See, basically, even when we glorify Krishna, we are concerned that we glorify Krishna and not the other. I should get the credit of doing this for Krishna. Right? I should make this project for Krishna. Basically that, or I should get to lead the kirtan, you know. Because there may be a desire to serve Krishna, I'm not saying. But then there is a desire for one's own recognition also. That I want to be recognized in the service of the Lord. Right? But that is not there in Vaikuntha. The only concern is someone else wants to glorify Krishna, there is no envy. Right? There is no envious competition. Right? Prabhupada said at the one there is a competition, but that is only to enthuse each other. But there is no competition born of any feeling of jealousy or enviousness. Right? There is very pure consciousness, which is not seen in this world. The important verse. Right? And then another point Prabhupada makes here in two points. First of all, that how the birds have they facilitated him, you know, which is not so sweet singing. Second is Prabhupada says the principle of devotional service beginning with hearing and chanting are very prominent in Vaikuntha world. And this principle of hearing and chanting of Krishna is very prominent. And if some other devotees wants to do some particular service, then we should facilitate. Okay, you know, what matter is Krishna should be served. You know, many times it happens many times. You know, because in the material world, why are you distributing books here? This is my zone. You know, we distribute, let everyone distribute. But no, you don't distribute here. Our zone of book distribution. I want the score, you know. I want to have my score. You will affect my score. But our overall score will improve, you know. If two people are distributing book in particular place, say if there are two stalls at Dadar, overall score will be better or less? Better. But individual score may suffer, you know, kind of, you know. So material world, there is a competition like that. And because we are in the material world, so the temples make the policy, they know the conditioned nature of people, you know. So, okay, so divide the zones, you know. You distribute here, you distribute there. Because the conditioning, you can't get rid of conditioning so fast. You know. So therefore divide zones. You don't come in that zone, you don't come. There are so many places anyway, you know. It's not that the world has been filled with, every station already has many tables, it's not like that, you know. There's so many empty places, so many conditioned souls, there are unlimited opportunities. So go to some other place. Like that, so we settle like this. But otherwise, Vaikuntha, the consciousness, someone else also wants to glorify Krishna, facilitate for the glorification of the Lord. Right? So that kind of consciousness is there. Text 19. Mandara kunda kurabot pala champakaran. Unnaga naga bakulam buja parijata Gandhara chite tulusika abaranena tasya Yasmim stapa sumanaso bahumana yanti.
Although flowering plants like the Mandara, Kunda, Kurubaka, Utpal, Champak, Arana, Punnag, Naga, Keshar, Bakula, Lily and Parijata are full of transcendental fragrance. They are still conscious of the austerities performed by Tulsi. For Tulsi is given special preference by the Lord, who garlands himself with the Tulsi leaves.
Okay, so just like the birds, the trees are also great devotee of the Lord, devoid of any envy and hatred. And these verses are to be meditated upon again and again, right? Because by meditating upon these verses which show Vaikuntha qualities, one can actually develop these qualities, right? So when you meditate on these verses, what is their nature? How do they behave? Right? Strong meditation upon them will help us to develop those qualities. So this is, just see how these flowers, they are free from, completely free from envy and hatred. Tulsi is given preference by the Lord. Now compare the fragrance of Tulsi with the Naga Kesar, Champa, very sweet rose. Which smells more fragrant? Obviously, there are so many other beautiful fragrances. Tulsi ka aisa kuch bahut attractive fragrance nahi aata comparatively, you know. But these flowers don't complain, why does Vishnu gives always preference to Tulsi? We have such sweet fragrance, you know. In this world, many people say, "Arey, usko hi sab karte rehte hain. Why not me? You know, I can do this service better than him. But why the preference given to that person? No, that kind of feeling doesn't exist at all. They all respect Tulsi. The Lord prefer Tulsi. They all respect Tulsi. You know, because in this world, if the spiritual master prefer one disciple, all the other disciples become envious. Is it not? The king prefer one queen, all the other queen become envious. In the case of Chitraketu Maharaj, they poisoned the sun. It's a constant feature, envy and hatred of this world. But it's completely absent. The Lord always keep Tulsi, he prefers Tulsi, all the flowers they respect Tulsi. There is no feeling of that, why the Lord does that, you know. Is it logic kya hai? You know, people question, is it logic kya hai? Usko hi kyun sab aage karte rehte hain, you know. They don't ask that we have such nice, such sweet fragrance, etc. We have many good qualities over and above Tulsi. Then don't raise this question absolutely. Don't raise this question. Right? The Lord always prefer Tulsi and they all respect the position of Tulsi. Right? That is mentioned. Yasmin tapah tu manaso bahumanayanti. Right? So the word sumana is very important. So they all are sumana, there is no kumana or kumati. In this world everybody is kumati. Why this, why that, always complaining, always questioning, because of the envy born from within the heart. That is kumana. But they all are sumana. They are very good minded. Right? They respect Tulsi very much. And it's mentioned, there is a very, very beautiful verse. It said, kumana sumanastam hi yati yasya padabjayo. If one offers a flower, right, at the lotus feet of the Lord, that kumana person will become sumana. Right? So just like these flowers are sumana. The word flower is suman, you know. Suman means flower. Sumana means good minded. So these flowers, the word sumana has double connotation. Right? So there, this sumana of the spiritual world has a very good heart also. Right? These flowers. Right? And if one offer any one of these flowers to the Lord, he will also become like them. Kumana sumanastam hi. One who is had this envy, hatred, etc. But he offer this flower, who are very good hearted, at the lotus feet of the Lord, that person will also become good hearted. So therefore it's very beautiful. And it's mentioned, yasmim tapa sumanaso bahumanayanti. They are aware of also of the tapa of Tulsi Devi. And therefore they respect bahumanayanti. They are aware of it, and Vishwanatha Thakur says, they want to also perform tapa in Bharat Varsha, so that they can also achieve a fortunate position. See, there is no envious competition, but they all want to improve. You know, so Vishwanatha Thakur says this verse suggests that Bharat Varsh is superior to Vaikuntha Loka in this sense, in this aspect. You know, so the residents of Vaikuntha are aware of the tapasya performed by Tulsi in Bharat Varsh. They also desire, maybe we can also perform that tapasya in Bharat Varsh and attain a fortunate position of intimate service to the Lord. Right? Just see the therefore Bharat Bhumi te haila manushya janmayar, and how fortunate is the birth in Bharat Bhumi. The Vaikuntha here people, Vishnu Thakur says, they are also contemplating to take birth in Bharat Varsha and perform the tapa like Tulsi Devi. Right? So like that. Text 20.
Yat sankulam haripada nati matra drishter. Vaidurya-markata hema-mayar-vimane Yesham brihat-katitata smita-shobhi-mukhyak Krishnatmanam narajadadur-utsmayadya.
The inhabitants of the Vaikuntha travel in their airplanes made of lapis, lazuli, emerald and gold. Although crowded by their consorts, who have large heaps of beautiful smiling faces, they cannot be stimulated to passion by their mirth and beautiful charms.
So Vaikuntha airline he described. Vaikuntha airline is not made from some tin and powder coated. Vaidurya market hem mayar vimane. The Vaikuntha Airlines is made of pure gold and studded with various Vaidurya and market maris. And he said that, so he said that having Brahmaji described the beauty of the surrounding gardens and trees and forests of Vaikuntha, he is describing now the beauty of the city center. Brahmaji describing. Is the beauty of the city center over here, and said that these Vaikuntha airplanes are described, and then if say that how are these Vaikuntha airplanes achieved or this opulence achieved, they are achieved only by those who are solely engaged in worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. Hari Padanati Matra, this is very important. Yat sankulam hari padaniti matra drishter. This airplanes or this opulence of Vaikuntha is obtained by those who are engaged in worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? And then it is mentioned that such devotees, although have these great opulences, and one of the opulences also describes that they have very beautiful consorts. Right, it's a very beautiful in this world people want very beautiful garden, this, that, everything, association of beautiful woman and that beautiful setting, etc., for the purpose of enjoyment. But it's mentioned that everything is there which are usually people enjoy in this world. There is association of beautiful women, beautiful gardens, trees, flowers, birds, everything is there, but there is no passion over there. That is the important thing. Right, so such devotees are not stimulated to passion. Krishna Atma Naam Na Raja Adhur. There is no Raja. Although all these things is here, but these things cannot lead to passion. Why? Because Krishna Atma Naam, their mind is absorbed in Krishna, in singing his glories. Okay, we go to text 21. These 2-3 verses, we'll then take a break. This is the which verse? We began with 14th, right? So we have covered only 7 verses. This, not 21st, is the 7th verse of the series of the 10. 21.
Shri Rupini Kunayati Charanarvindam Leelam Bhujena Hari Sadmani Mukta Doshat samlakshate svatika kudde upeta hemne sammarjati vayadanugrahanenya yatna.
The ladies in Vaikuntha planets are as beautiful as goddess of fortune herself. Such transcendently beautiful ladies, their hands playing with lotuses and their legs bangles tinkling, are sometimes seen sweeping the marble vaults, which are bedecked at interval with golden borders, in order to receive the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Okay, this verse is also very important. There are many important things in each verses, you know. Even the deeper consideration will give more lessons, right? We are discussing broadly. So the Vaikuntha beauty is described. Shri Rupini. There are many beautiful goddess of fortune in Vaikuntha, right? But very strikingly, they are engaged in cleaning sometimes, it is seen, Vaikuntha. Right? I mean, you will find any Miss Universe of this world with a broom in the hand, or you know, a mopping. They will not give an advertisement also for the broom, you know. What to speak of having cleaning, they will not even, because it is below their standard, you know. You will not find any Miss Universe are giving some broom advertisement, you know. This is very nice broom, or a mopping, you know, something. They will not give also, you know. It's a very low standard thing. It's a fact actually, you know. But here they are the most beautiful women and wearing most beautiful ornaments, but doing any kind of service to the Lord just to receive His favor. If you see basically there is no self-esteem, no kind of. Everyone is conscious of the Lord's service. In this world there is a great sense of self-esteem and everything, you know. Oh, that you should think of yourself very big, etc. You know, the queen of Kalindi, the word marjan is used, sammarjativ, right? Sammarjan, cleaning. The queen of Krishna, Kalindi, she introduced herself to Draupadi as so aham tad grah marjani, I am just a sweepress in the house of Krishna. The queen said, right? If you see the brahmachari preacher, when they go out and say that, oh, what do? I give corporate seminars, I give discussion course, and I do youth preaching, and I do manage this department, and you know, I organize many events. I'm an event organizer. Does any brahmachari imagine go to some place and meet a big person and say, I in the morning I clean temple hall? No one will say, you know, it's below self-esteem. You know, no one introduces oneself as a cleaner, you know. Said, I am a big preacher. This many events I take care, etc. You know, it's below self-esteem. But there is no such thing as self-esteem in that sense, you know, because everyone identifies oneself as simply a servant of Krishna, eager to receive the mercy. Vaikuntha consciousness. You know, the Kalindi doesn't say, you know, I am Krishna's favorite queen. He brings this and that for me. It's there in the Bhagavatam itself. Kalindi simply said, I am just a sweeper in the house of Krishna. And to another lady, you know, to say that requires, it means completely free from all kind of so-called self-esteem of this world, you know. But I am something great. No. Lord is great, His service is great. Any small service is great for the Lord. And Lord is specially pleased by humble menial service. Lakshmi Devi knows that. The Lord is specially, He looks very favorably upon a person who renders menial service, you know, of cleaning, of doing some menial service to the Vaishnavas, you know, whatever. Specially pleased. This Siddhant comes so many times. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says 3 to 4 times in a short, you know, within a short section, 3 to 4 times he says, the king got mercy of the Lord only because of his menial service. He received the mercy of Jagannath only because of menial service. The Lord's mind was extremely pleased only because of menial service. 3-4 times within like 15-20 verses, he says this menial service, king became successful in the devotional service only because of menial service. So Lakshmi Devi knows that. So she renders this menial service Because the Lord looks, the favor of the Lord is bestowed very soon upon those who render humble menial service. The menial service means socially low service. Menial means socially low, socially considered low. But then we combine the word humble menial service. Sometimes people may render a socially low service and become proud of that, you know. But in a mood of humility, a low service rendered, a socially low service rendered, attracts the mercy of the Lord like nothing. Right? So Lakshmi Devi does that. And Prabhupada says there is no fault on the part of Lakshmi Devi. Usually Lakshmi Devi is attributed to the fault of being chanchala, you know, she doesn't stay at one place. But Prabhupada says, chanchala nature exhibited when the materialistic people want her without Narayan. In Vaikuntha, she is fixed in the service of the Lord. She is not chanchala over there. You know? She is completely fixed in the service of the Lord. That Prabhupada explains. Text 22. Vapishu vidrumalata shumana amritapsu. प्रेष्यान् विता निजवने तुलसी भिरीशम् अभ्यर्चति सलकम् उन्नसमेक्षवक्त्रम् सलकम् उन्नसमेक्षवक्त्रम् उच्चेषितं भगवते ति अमतांगयश्री.
Goddess of fortune worship the Lord in their own gardens by offering tulsi leaves on the coral paved bank of the transcendental reservoir of water. While offering worship to the Lord, they can see on the water of the reflection of their beautiful faces with the raised nose, and it appears that they have become more beautiful because the Lord is kissing their faces.
Okay, so the last word describes Vaikuntha Rupini, right, and this word describes Vaikuntha worship or Vaikuntha archana, right? Abhyarchati word, abhyarchati. You can take one key word from the shloka and combine with Vaikuntha. What aspect of Vaikuntha is being described by each word? Right? So I did that, but you can find even more precisely some correct word, etc. Right? So Vaikuntha archan is described. So the god of the fortune also worship the Lord with tulsi, but it's described, Vishwanath Thakur says, her worship resembles the worship of a sadhaka, right? She worships the Lord with archana, which is similar to the sadhaka. She takes her morning bath in order to worship Narayan. And then she worships the Lord with tulsi. She knows that tulsi is very dear to the Lord, right? So she goes to the nearby pond and she washes her face and she sees her reflection. Right, so that is mentioned over here. 23. Yanna mrajanti agabhido rachana anuvadast. Shinvanti yanna vishaya kukatha matikne. Yastu shuta hat bhagair nirbhirat sarast. Tamstan shipante asharane shutama suhanta.
It is very much regrettable that unfortunate person do not discuss the description of the Vaikunth planet, but engage in topics which are unworthy to hear and which bewilders one's intelligence. Those who give up the topic of Vaikuntha and take to talk of the material world are thrown into the darkest region of ignorance.
Okay, so actually Vaikuntha description finishes here, verse 22. That it's just 13 to 22. The 10 verses are from 13 to 22. Right? Brahma begins at verse 13 and goes up to 22. So 23, he wants to describe that who are the people qualified to go there. Right? But before describing that, in this verse he describes who can't go there. So we will continue. You can have a break of 10 minutes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 23. We already read the text, right? Again. So, Yanna Vrajanti Agabhido Rachananuvada Shrivanti Ye Anya Vishaya Kukatha Mati Ghni. Yanna Vrajanti, in order to describe who are qualified to go to Vaikuntha, first, those are described who can't go to Vaikuntha. Yanna Vrajanti, Vraj means to go. So those, they don't go, who all? Shrivanti Ye Anya Vishaya Kukatha Matagni. So those who those people who never hear about or who always hear kukatha, right, which destroy their intelligence, right, it's described that those who do not hear about the Lord and rather engage their mind in hearing anya vishaya, which is described as kukatha, right, that means all the magazine, newspaper, journals, all the websites, everything, you know, of this world. Kukatha, mati, this kukatha leads to destruction of intelligence, mati ghani. So, it's in sequence, you know, shanvanti ye anya katha. Other than the Lord, whatever katha is there, anya vishaya, that is known as kukatha, right? And that leads to destruction of intelligence. And these people, Yastu shut hat bhagair, these unfortunate people, because their intelligence has been spoiled, they actually do not go. And Prabhupada talks about the impersonalists also, right, who deny the spiritual variegatedness, they also are, and they engage in various impersonal talks, that is also Prabhupada says is kukatha. And if you see in the second paragraph, in the middle, Prabhupada says, instead of trying, the fourth or fifth line of the second paragraph, instead of trying to understand the spiritual abode and the spiritual activities of the Lord, people are more interested in politics and economic development. They hold many conventions, meetings and discussions to solve the problems of this worldly situation, where they can remain for only a few years, but they are not interested in understanding the spiritual situation of the Vaikuntha world, right, which is described in the last 10 verses. So those who are basically, those who don't discuss, those who are not interested in understanding the spiritual situation of Vaikuntha world, they don't go. As simple as that. Text 24. Yabhyarthitam api chano nargatim prapanna. Yabhyarthitam api chano nargatim prapanna. Jnanam chatatva vishayam sahadharmam yatra. Naradhanam bhagavato vitarante mushya. Sammohita vitataya batamaya yate.
Lord Brahma said, my dear demigods, the human form of life is of such importance that we also desire to have such life. For in the human form, one can attain perfect religious truth and knowledge. If one in this human form of life does not understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His abode, it is to be understood that he is very much affected by the influence of external nature.
Okay, so Brahmaji is saying something very striking. He is saying he is glorifying Naragatim, the human form of life. Yabhyarthitam api channo Naragatim prapanna. Brahmaji is saying, oh, those of human birth are qualified to go to Vaikuntha and not the devatas. Right? He's talking to the devatas. He said, they are qualified to go to Vaikuntha and not you all. But those human whose intelligence is misled by scriptures which are devoid of bhakti, anya katha, right? Magazine, newspaper, they all can be considered as, or in general, the scriptures, right? The scriptures are the materialists or the impersonalists or the fruitive workers, etc., etc., you know. So, those whose intelligence is misled by these scriptures, they are actually cheated. They are lamentable. Brahmaji is lamenting for them. Oh, they obtained such a great opportunity, right? Not obtained by us all. Brahmaji is including himself also. Right? And if they don't worship the Lord, na radhanam bhagavato, if they're not worshipping, then they are just being bewildered and foolishly wasting their time being in the clutches of the external energy. Sammohita vitataya bat mayayaye. Like that. So Vishnu Thakur says, Brahmaji is saying, if we were born as humans in Bharat, then worshipping Krishna, we could attain Vaikuntha very quickly. Guru text 25. Yaccha vrajanti animisham rishabhanu vritya dure yamahi upari nasvrani hashila bhartur mitha suyashasha katana anuraga Vaiklavya Bashpakalaya Pulaki Kritanga.
Persons whose bodily features change in ecstasy and who breathe heavily and perspire due to hearing the glories of the Lord are promoted to the kingdom of God, even though they do not care for meditation and other austerities. The kingdom of God is above the material universes and it is desired by Brahma and other demigods.
Okay, so text 23 began with yan no vrajanti, they can't go, right? Who are engaged in mind absorbed in the scriptures other than bhakti. Now text 25 says yaccha vrajanti, those who go. Who are those who go? Those who affectionately glorify the Lord amongst each other. Right? The two important things. Bhartur mitha su yashasha kathana nuraga. Bhartur is the Supreme Lord. Those who glorify the Supreme Master. Mitha means each other. Right? They sit together and they discuss the glory of the Lord. Amongst each other they, right? Tushanti cha ramanti cha. That thing is coming. Bharatur mitha, amongst each other, su yashasha, they glorify the name, fame of the Lord. Kathananuraga, affectionately. Right? So with affection, those who sing the glories of the Lord, sitting together with each other, vaklavya bashpakalaya pulaki, and these devotees, when they do that, they experience great transcendental bliss and there are bodily transformation. These devotees definitely go to Vaikuntha, is described over here. Right?
So, Prabhupada says, fourth line of the purport, Brahmaji states herein that the spiritual kingdom is above the kingdom of the demigods. Dure yama hi upari nahasvrani hashila. He is saying that this planet is situated above the planet of demigods. And Srinihashila, they have this, we desire, we kind of want to emulate them. Srinihashila means to, we want to emulate them. We want to follow in their footsteps. Right? All these qualities of these people, Vaikuntha Vasis, are desired, those are qualified, those qualities are desired by us. Like that. Srinihashila. Right? So, Prabhupada says, so Brahmaji said that the spiritual kingdom above the kingdom of demigods, one can enter the kingdom of the Supreme Lord only when one is highly developed in desirable qualities. And the most desirable quality is that having affection or attraction for hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. That is the main thing. Point out. They are glorified. They are qualified. Okay. And then Prabhupada quotes from that those who have these qualities, they experience actually transcendental bliss. While those who do not have these qualities, they don't experience transcendental bliss, their hearts are to be understood as a steel frame. Prabhupada quotes that in the purport. Right? In the middle of the second paragraph, Prabhupada quotes, he translates that verse as Tad Ashmasaram Hridayam Batedam. Like that. Go to text 26. Tad Vishwaguru Adhikritam Bhuvanaika Vandyam. Divyam Vichitra. Vibhudar Gaya Vimana Sochi Apu Param Mudama Purva Mupetya Yoga Maya Balena Munayas Tadatho Vikuntham.
The great sages Sanak Sanatana Sanandan and Sanat Kumar, upon reaching the above mentioned Vaikuntha in the spiritual world, by dint of their mystic yoga performance, perceive unprecedented happiness. They found that the spiritual sky was illuminated by highly decorated airplanes piloted by the best devotees of Vaikuntha and was predominated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Okay, so after describing that how those who are qualified, those are not qualified, those qualified to go there, he's saying so these they were qualified to go there, right? Therefore they could go, the Chatushkumaras, right? Apu Param Mudam Apurvam Upetya Yoga Maya Balen. So Prabhupada says that because they had achieved the perfection of their mystic power, therefore they were qualified to go. But then qualification is not one-fold actually, it's two-fold. Vishwanatha Thakur says, not by their perfection in mystic power, but by the Lord's Yogamaya's power, they could enter Vaikuntha. So both ways is true, you know. We know the our endeavor, Krishna's mercy. So they were qualified by their endeavor, and the Lord Yogamaya's potency further qualified them. The Yogamaya potency allowed them. So, not they could reach Vaikuntha not just by their own qualification, but it requires the mercy of the Lord. Right? So, any sadhaka cannot attain perfection simply by his own endeavor. Right? The Lord's mercy is has to be there. So, it's a two-way qualification, a two-fold qualification. Go to text 27. Tasmin Natitya Munaya Shada Sajjamana Kaksha Samana Vayasav At Saptamayam devavachakshad grihita gadoparardhya kejura kundala kirita vitanka vesho
After passing through the six entrances of Vaikunthapuri, the Lord's residence, without feeling astonishment at all the decorations, they saw at the seventh gate two shining beings of the same age, armed with maces and adorned with most valuable jewelry, earrings, diamonds, helmets and garments, etc.
Okay, so, sir, Vaikuntha was very nicely decorated. But these four Kumaras, Vishnu Thakur says, they did not have any attraction by material intelligence to the gates, walls or to the other aspects. So they quickly went. They didn't spend time looking at the gates and other beauty of Vaikuntha, which is of course spiritual. You know, it's not. So Prabhupada says, because they were so eager to see the Lord, right? They didn't care to see the transcendental decoration, right? Or they were jnanis also, you know, they didn't want to distract themselves to see all these things. So they quickly went. They didn't stop at the gate and looking at the carvings and, you know, the various gems shining, etc. They just quickly went off, right? And reached the seventh gate. So the situation at the seventh gate is described, text 28. Matta durefa vanamalikaya niveto. Vinayasta asita chatustaya bahumadde. Vaktram bravu vakutilaya sfuta nirgamabhyam. Rakte kshane na cha managa rabasam dadano. The two doormen were garlanded with fresh flowers which attracted intoxicated bees and which were placed around their necks and between their four blue arms. From their arched eyebrows, discontented nostrils and reddish eyes, they appeared somewhat agitated. So it described that the faces of there were two guards standing on the seventh gate, and the faces of these two guards looked slightly agitated with anger. Manag rabasam, manag means small, manag rabasam, the small agitation on their face. And the three symptoms of their agitation are described. Vaktram, it was visible on their face. Bruv kutilaya, their eyebrows were raised, you know. And then sphut nirgamaya bhyam, they were breathing distinctly. You know, a person when in anger, his breathing becomes a little heavy and you can hear the distinct sound. Sphut means distinct. So breathing was distinctly audible, kind of, that means breathing heavily. Then rakt ikshanen, their eyes were little reddish, you know. So the three symptoms of anger, the heavy breathing, the reddish eyes and the raising of the brows were visible on this doorkeeper. What was the reason for their being angry? Text 29 describes that. Dware tayor nivivishur mishator prishtva. Purva yatha purata vajra kapat kapatikaya. Sarvatrate vishamaya munaya sudishtya. Ye sancharante avihata vigata bhishanka.
The great sages, headed by Sanaka, had open doors everywhere. They had no idea of ours and theirs. With open minds, they entered the seventh door out of their own will. just as they had passed through the six other doors, which were made of gold and diamonds.
Okay, so these were, they were angry, अरे किधर बिना पूछे बिना बात किए घुसे जा रहे हैं, you know. But here said, the sages, they had no conception of theirs and ours, you know. And they were open mind, everything open for them, you know. Like that, so they were going. So Prabhupada says, they, the third line, that they were just like children, you know. They were not at all duplicitous. And they entered the door exactly as little children enter places without any idea of what it is to trespass. You know, children, they don't know what is trespass, you know, etc. You know, so just go anywhere, children. That is a child's nature. Prabhupada explains very nicely. A child can enter any place and no one checks him. Indeed, a child is generally welcome in his attempts to go to different places, you know. In his attempt to go places, but if it is so happens that a child is checked from entering a door, he naturally becomes very sorry and angry. That is the nature of the child. In this case, the same thing happened. You know, so they are just little children, you know, going. They don't know this gate should not be entered, that should not be going. And they checked him. Kahan ja rahe ho bina aise ghuse ja rahe ho bina puche bina baat kiye, you know. So kind of. So they became angry. Okay, so we go to But important point is, then Prabhupada says, if they're like, you know, like children, and the child is stopped, then a child doesn't give punishment to somebody. You know, he may cry a little bit, you know, become a little bit angry or whatever, you know. He can't give a curse or something, you know. So therefore verse says, he continued the purport. The childlike saintly personalities entered all the six doors of the palace and no one checked them. Therefore they attempted to enter the seventh door and were forbidden by doormen who checked them with their sticks. They naturally became very angry and sorrowful, like children, you know, that's okay. An ordinary child would cry, but because they were not ordinary children, they immediately made preparations to punish the doorman, for the doorman had committed a great offense. Even to this day, a saintly person is never checked from entering anyone's door in India. You know, so Guru is saying, there's a culture of India, you know, saintly person never checked from entering anyone's doors. You know, there are many sadhus who feel that Indian railways should not charge them. They just go, you know, they go without ticket. You know, this some other way the ticket. Humko ticket ke kya zarurat hai? You know, they're wearing saffron. Many people feel like that. There's still many sadhus. You know, in our temple also there was one brahmachari. He had that mood. You know, he said, "I don't need ticket." He would travel without ticket many a times. But then once or twice he was caught. You know, then the temple authorities called him separately. He said, "Wait, Baba. We want you to take the ticket." You know, so like that, you know, in India sadhus many times they feel they can go anywhere, ride on any train, they don't need any ticket and any formalities, you know, no permission from anybody, no payments, no permissions. So like that, India, there has been culture also, kind of, you know. So therefore Prabhupada points that out. Okay, text 30. तान विक्षवात रसनां चतुरा कुमारान वृद्धान दशार्ध वयसो विदितात्म तत्वान वित्रेन चास्खलयताम अददर्हनां स्तो तेजो विहस्य भगवत प्रतिकूलशीलो.
The four boys sages who had nothing to cover their bodies, but the atmosphere looked only 5 years old, even though there were the oldest of all living creatures, and had realized the fourth of the self. But when the protozoa happened to possess a disposition quite unpalatable to the Lord, so the sages, they blocked their way with their staffs, disavowed their glories, although the sages did not deserve such treatment at their hands.
Okay, so when the four Kumaras saw that, describe that these four Kumaras, Tan Vikshya, Vat Rasanams, dressed by the ear. Vat is ear, you know. So they were dressed by the ear, or the four directions, or the atmosphere. Chatura Kumaran, Vridhan, Dash Ardhvayaso. They were very old actually, as old as Brahma. But they were like Dash Ardhvayaso. What is Dash Ardh? Dash ka Adha, 5 saal. Dash Ardhvayaso. They were like 5-year-old children. So when they noticed that they were stopped, right? They said, they thought that how is it that they are acting Bhagavat Pratikul Shilo? They are acting against the nature of the Lord. What is the nature of the Lord? He always welcomes Brahmanas. You know, the Lord worship the Brahmanas, he welcomes the Brahmanas. So they are surprised actually, they are astonished. Right? And it's with the verse end, Vetrena Chas Khaletam Tad Arhanam Sto. They deserve to enter. The Lord is affectionate to the Brahmanas, and they had all the Brahmanical qualifications. They were the sons of Brahmaji, right? They were very elderly personalities, but looking like 5-year-old children. From all point of view, they deserve to enter. But here, Tejo Vihasya means the doormen, they disregarded their great power, right? That means they were deserving people. They were disregard on their part. And in disregarding them, Bhagavat Pratikula Shilo, they acted against the nature of the Lord, which is welcoming to the Brahmana. So now their mistake is being pointed out. Right? So they did commit a mistake. You know, they are at a post. Many times, you know, this happens in ISKCON places. Sometimes a person is asked to control entry, etc. You know, वो सबको भगा देता है. There are some people who are like very well wishers of the temple, the donors, and this and that. You know, but it's भागो सब लोग इधर से हटो जाओ पीछे. You know, kind of. So many people are offended. You know, the offense is committed like that. So it's not a considerate behavior. Therefore, a person who stands at the door, you know, the most soft-spoken person, it's always a challenge, especially prasadam entrance, you know, of ISKCON. There has to be really a soft person that doesn't offend anybody. It doesn't matter if he's efficient or not. He's a soft-spoken, first qualification. Yeah, in fact, because he may offend certain deserving people and who may be great well-wishers, you know, and they may never come, etc. So this happens many times in our experience also. So here they disregarded the great powers of the Chatush Kumaras. Someone say they may not realize it. No, but said they're supposed to know. You know, they can't be ignorant that there are four great sages, and they must be knowing them actually. It's no question of they're not knowing them, but they disregarded. So they made offense against the Brahmanas, right? In their position of the doorkeeper, don't say eternal ascent to the Lord is the plan of the Lord. That is all later. But we are looking at now as the doorkeeper's duty. These doorkeepers have offended the Brahmanas for sure. There is no doubt about it. The offense has been committed by them. They disregarded their, because they deserved it. When you stop a deserving candidate, that's offense. And they acted, is very clearly mentioned, Bhagavat Pratikula Shilo. They acted against the nature of their master. Okay. They acted against the nature of their master. We go to text 30, right? No, 31. Text 31. ताभ्याम मिशतु अनिमिषु ताभ्याम मिशत्व अनिमिषेषु निषिद्यमाना स्वरहत्तमा हि अपि हरे प्रतिहार पाभ्याम ऊचु सुहृत्तमदिरीक्षित भंग ईशत् कामानुजेन सहसा त उपप्लुताक्ष सहसा त उपप्लुताक्ष
When the Kumaras, although by far the fittest person, were thus forbidden and entrance by the two chief doorkeepers of Shri Hari, while others divinities looked on, their eyes suddenly turned red because of anger due to their great eagerness to see their most beloved master, Shri Hari, the Supreme the Personality of Godhead.
Okay. Again, Tabhyam Mishatu Ani Misheshu Nishidyamana Swarhattama. Swarhattama means they were deserving actually. They were the fit. They were fit to enter Vaikuntha, Swarattama. Right? However, so they didn't deserve to be stopped. Again, this verse says that means that there is offense for sure. You know. Right? So Vishwanatha Thakur says, even the Lord's servants should not obstruct his friendliness to the Brahmanas. You know. Even his servants should not obstruct his friendliness to the Brahmanas. Because they should follow the qualities of the Lord. They should understand the mood of their master and follow that. So they obstructed that and they became implicated in the offense. So the Kumaras described that they became angry because they were thwarted or they were checked in their desire to see the Lord. They were checked in there. They were very eager to see the Lord, and because of their desire was checked, so they became angry. Right? Again, Prabhupada says, according to the Vedic custom, a sannyasi, a person in the renounced order, is dressed in saffron colored garment. This saffron dress is practically a passport for the mendicant and sannyasi to go anywhere. You know, it's a passport. Like you have seen in Mayapur there is a on the Panchatattva side there is a devotee entrance. It's written this is a devotee entrance, and that side is general people entrance. You know, so and the security guards are told, देखो भाई इधर से devotee को छोड़ना है जो सब devotee नहीं उनको उधर भेज देना वो side में उधर से आप entry करो. The devotee कौन है? जिसके हाथ में बीड बैग है और कंठी माला है, यू नो, दे आर डिवोटीज, देयर द सिंपलिस्टिक डेफिनेशन दे हैव बीन टोल्ड, तो वो चेक करते रहते हैं किसके कंठी है किसके बीड बैग है, उनको छोड़ देने का है, एंड दे हैव बीन अ स्पेसिफिक इंस्ट्रक्शन, सैफरन को दूर से प्रणाम करके पूरी जगह दे देना, गेट से हट जाना, यू नो, सैफरन इज द क्लियर पासपोर्ट, यू नो, नहीं तो यू विल बी इन ट्रबल, यू नो, So the Prabhupada is saying, you know, the saffron dress is a passport to go anywhere. So I once noticed that one saffron person was there, Brahmachari, somewhere that asked him, coupon kya hai tumhara? Bolta, coupon? Ye kya hai? You know, said a saffron, clear passport, you know, we don't need coupons. Kind of, you know, in India, this kind of social, you know, people would allow, so Prabhupada is saying that it's practically a passport, you know. Person dressed in saffron, you can go anywhere, everywhere, you know, that kind of. Prabhupada said many times actually, not just that, Prabhupada goes one step ahead. He says, even if he asks something from a householder, anybody, he should be given the gift. Not just he can go anywhere and everywhere, he can ask for anything and everything also, you know, that also. Provided he, you know, many people just started taking advantage of it without having the qualification. That was the main reason actually why the whole thing, you know, collapsed. Right? Okay, so they Kamanujain Sahasa. Who is Kamanujain? Anger, the younger brother of Kam. That like Ramanuja is Lakshman, no? His name is Ramanuja, the younger brother of Lord Ram. So the word Kamanuja is used. That is, anger is Kamanuja. And the fourth line. So they became angry. And Prabhupada very importantly points out, right? Someone read the second paragraph, 5-6 lines.
In this verse, from there?
Yeah, in this verse.
In this verse, it is figuratively stated that the younger brother of desire suddenly appeared in person when the sages were forbidden to say their most beloved personality of Godhead. The younger brother of desire is anger. If one's desire is not fulfilled, the younger brother anger follows. Here we can mark that even great saintly person.
छोटा भाई आ जाता है. बड़े भाई को रोका गया तो छोटा भाई उसको जो है, you know, anger comes like that is mentioned. Yeah, read.
Here we can mark that even great saintly persons like the Kumaras were also angry, but they were not angry for their personal interests. They were angry because they were forbidden to enter the palace to see the personality of Godhead. Therefore, the theory that in the perfectional stage one should not have anger is not supported in this verse.
Anger will continue even in the liberated stage, Prabhupada is saying. And anger is there in spiritual world also. Right? But that anger is not for one's personal thing. It is only for the in relation with the service of the Lord. Only in relation to the service of the Lord. Right? Okay. So this is a very important point. Prabhupada brings this point again in the second paragraph. Right? In the middle of the second paragraph, he says, although the Kumaras were already liberated persons, they nevertheless became angry. This point is very important, Prabhupada says. Becoming liberated does not necessitate losing one's sensual activities. Right? That one's emotions, all including anger, remain even in the perfectional stage. But it's utilized in a, it has a pure form. Munayaha uchu kova mihatya bhagavat paricharya uchyas tadharminam nivasatam nivasatam visama svabhava tasmin prashanta puruse gata vigrahevam kovatma vatkukayo parishankaniya
The sages said, who are these two persons who have developed such a discordant mentality even though they are posted in the service of the Lord in the highest position and are expected to have developed the same qualities as the Lord? How are these two persons living in Vaikuntha? Where is the possibility of an enemy coming into this kingdom of God? The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no enemy. Who could be envious of him? Probably these two persons are imposters. Therefore, they suspect others to be like themselves.
Okay, so being afflicted with anger, they first criticize the doorkeepers, the four Kumaras. He said, oh, you two are situated very highly, you know, in the Lord's abode. And you are expected to display the high qualities. You know, if someone is situated very highly, he's supposed to display high qualities. Right? You are supposed to display the qualities of the Lord, the dharmina. Right? You are situated as a bhagavat paricharya, a very high position. So you are supposed to display the qualities of that place. No? Tadharminam, nivasatam, vishamasa. However, you are displaying very low qualities, they are saying. Right? So therefore, what is this irregular behavior? This is very irregular. You are situated very highly, but you are displaying the qualities of low people. Therefore, they are saying that this is something very irregular. Right? So Vishnu Thakur says, among those who have qualities similar to the Lord, living close to the Lord, what is this irregular nature of stopping Brahmanas from entering in opposition to Lord's nature? right? Because the Lord is always welcoming, right? So this is you're acting against. But then Jai Vijay, they say, but enemies of the Lord disguised as Brahmanas try to enter Vaikuntha by deceit. We should question them first and then allow them to enter. Now Jai Vijay's stance is like this. He said, but the enemies of the Lord, they can come in the form of, you know, they can take any form. They can come as four Kumaras. So we must check them and question them. You know, while in one company we were distributing books, there it was, one statement was written, we respect all ranks, but checking is our duty. You know? You know, I said all ranks, you know, but we respect you. But we must check everyone, you know, that's our duty. So now, but they are just conducting the duty, you know. So that's their part. Let's go ahead. So they say, but, you know, but we must check and allow enter. Any enemy may come disguised as Brahmanas. So they're saying, no, you two are deceitful, pretending to be devotees. You are enemies of the Lord, showing disrespect for the Brahmanas, showing lack of peace and a fighting nature. Right? You alone in Vaikuntha should be distrusted by the Lord. Right? So they were saying that someone may by deceitfully come by. They said, no, you are deceitful. You are. So they put all the accusation upon them. Put all the accusation upon them. Right? What do you say? Any fault on part? They want to check, respect all ranks. Checking is their duty. What is the fault? Why should Brahmanas become so angry? They are saying that they further clarify, right? They further clarify. They say that how can there be anything discordant in Vaikuntha? You know, how can there be possibility of any disharmony in Vaikuntha? In Vaikuntha, there is no possibility of any enemy entering in Vaikuntha, and any deceit, you know, someone dressing as someone, any deceit, and there is no disharmony in Vaikuntha, they are saying, because there is disharmony within you, therefore you are thinking that someone is trying to deceit. That is their argument. Let's go ahead. You have to resolve it, you know, who is right and who is wrong. They want to check. Let's go ahead, then we'll discuss. Okay, 32 we have already? Yeah, we recited 32, right? Yeah, 33. Nahi antaram bhagavati hasamasta kuksha. Atma namatmani nabho nabasi vadhira. Pashyanti yatra yuvayo suralingino kim. Vyatpaditam hi udarabhedi bhayam yatosya.
In the Vaikuntha world, there is complete harmony between residents and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as there is complete harmony within the space between the big and small skies. Why then there is a seed of fear in the field of harmony? These two persons are dressed like inhabitants of Vaikuntha, but where from can their disharmony come into existence?
Okay, so now their point is like this. Chatush Kumaras, they saying, oh fools, listen, you say that we have to check and all that. Those who you mistrust are within the Lord, for the whole universe is within him. Right? Samasta kuksha, everything exists in his abdomen. The wise jnanis do not see difference between all jivas and the Lord here in Vaikuntha, who holds all jivas within him, just as the sky in the pot is within the great sky. For what reason do you dress as devotees, fear that someone will come and pierce the abdomen of the Lord? Please tell us that first. Their point is, how can there be anything, any fear for the Lord's safety in Vaikuntha? You know, everyone is situated within the Lord. There is no disharmony over here. There are no cheaters. Everyone, everything is in complete harmony. No one is against the desire of the Lord in Vaikuntha. So how come you be fearful of his safety, first of all, you know? The disharmony is within you, they are saying. Yes. Yeah, Vishwanath Thakur points out, for speakers who are gyanis in the line of the gyanis, the example of great sky to explain non-difference of the Lord and the jiva is not inappropriate. So they are giving the example of, you know, their sky within the pot and sky outside the pot. They are one and the same, you know. So basically they are in general, they are questioning that, why you need to just fear security of the Lord, you know? There is no disharmony here, there is no fear to the Lord. You are simply, you know, there is disharmony within you, they are saying. That means they are questioning itself that post of security, what is the need of security, you know? So they are true in the terms of the jnanis, that actually no one can harm the Lord. But there is a rasa they want to have protection of the Lord, you know? They want to feel that we are protecting the Lord, etc., you know? Kind of. So there's a different rasa, but they can't understand that rasa. Right? So therefore they're speaking on a different platform. They're speaking from a Gyan platform here. You know, Vishnu Thakur also talks about that they are Gyanis, they're talking with this example, you know, within that and all that, like that. But no doubt that mistake is there on the part of Vaikuntha, you know. But they are saying that what is the question of, you know, fear to the Lord, and there is what is the need of your being security people, etc., you know, who can enter Vaikuntha, which enemy can enter Vaikuntha. So they are taking a different line of logic. And they are not understanding, as you rightly said, of the rasas yet, of the, you know, that the devotees can have the protective attitude towards the Lord. You know, protective attitude to the Lord. But then the question comes, why didn't the previous doorkeepers stop them? If that is a concern, you know, the security concern is there. वो पहले छह द्वार में कोई रोका क्यों नहीं? वो तो छोड़ दिया सबने. So this story has a background also. Once what happened, the Lord was taking rest and the Jai Vijay were guarding. This Vishnu Puran narrated the stories. The same doorkeeper. They stopped Lakshmiji. And Lakshmiji was going to serve the Lord, massage the Lord's feet. They said, no, you can't go, our Lord is resting. She said, your Lord? He's my Lord. You know, I can go, you know. He said, no, you can't go. There was a quarrel between them. And they both went to the Lord. They said, please tell us whose Lord you are, you know. Are you their Lord or are you my Lord? Lakshmi Devi said. The Lord simply smiled at both of them and they both were pacified. You know, so this is the Lord, you know, Lord can resolve the conflict, you know, in amazing ways. Just by his smile, he pacified both parties. But there was offense on the part of Jai Vijay that time. You know, so we will see that there can be some misunderstanding or mistake by the Vaikuntha Vasis also. You know, once you not there, kaise, you know, we will discuss this particular aspect as we go ahead. You know, they cannot act like that, they are Vaikuntha Vasis. Sometimes there may be misunderstanding and maybe some little distinct thing, but what is their reaction later and how the Lord settled this, more important, right? So basically none of the previous doorkeepers stopped them, right? So they were a little bit unnecessarily, you know, overprotective, you know. Fine, you know, their protective feeling is there, but then you should recognize that their person is qualified. You know, it's their responsibility. No one else stopped them. They stopped. They had stopped Lakshmi Devi also. So their previous offense leads to this also, and then they had to go to material world. They had to come down to material world. There was a mistake on their part. Like that. Okay. Go to text 33. Nahi antaram bhagavati hasamasta kuksha. Sorry? Oh, 30 we already covered. Yeah. So they said there cannot be any disharmony. Tadvama mushya paramasya vikuntha bhartu. Kartum prakishtamiha dhimahi mandadhibhyam. Lokanito vrajatamantara bhava drishtya. Papi yasastraya ime ripavasya yatra.
Therefore, let us consider how these two contaminated persons should be punished. The punishment should be apt, for thus benefit can eventually be bestowed upon them. Since they find duality in the existence of Vaikuntha life, they are contaminated and should be removed from this place to the material world, where the living entities have three kinds of enemies.
Okay, so you're saying that they are perceiving the duality in Vaikuntha, they should go to the world of duality. They are seeing us as enemies, now they will have three enemies. They will go to the world where they will have three enemies. Who are that? Kama krodha tatha lobha. So they will go to the world where there are constantly, you know, they will have these enemies, you know. Everyone is being harassed, right, by these three enemies, primarily. Okay, so Vishwanath Thakur says, not being pacified by criticizing them. First they criticize in harsh words. The Kumaras curse them out of great anger. And so, okay, see, this is, listen, very subtle. The Kumaras became angry, right, because they were thwarted in their desire to see the Lord. And Prabhupada says, even in liberated personality there is anger. Up till that point, there was no fault in Kumaras. They were deserving. But now, when they decided to curse and pronounce the curse, Vishnu Thakur says, these three enemies appeared in them also. They also became a victim of kam, krodh, and... The mistake is not in getting angry over there, but now they became faulty in cursing the associates of the Lord. Here they committed the mistake. Right? So the doorkeeper committed offense, fine. They became angry, up to that is fine. But in their punishing the associate of the Lord, they committed the offense. So both parties became offensive. In this particular verse, they committed the offense. Up till here, they were free from, their part was clean. But now they also became involved in offense. Right? So he says, Papi Yasatraya Ime. These three Ime, Vishnu Thakur also, now they also has appeared within them also. Right? Like that. Yes. No, basically their offense is they obstructed the deserving candidates. They obstructed their service. They are very eager to see the Lord, and the Lord is welcoming to the Brahmanas. So they acted against the nature of the Lord and obstructed the Brahmanas. They obstructed their desires. Right? It's a desire, it's a desire of service. You know, all the spiritual desire can be considered a desire of service. They're going very with their eagerness to see the Lord. It's a spiritual desire, a desire of devotional service. So to obstruct someone's devotional service is offense. So these doorkeeper, they obstructed the devotional service of four Kumaras. Again, acted against the nature of the Lord. That is their offense. Okay? So now they are becoming angry at that. Is not an offense, but they are cursing the associate of the Lord in offense. They are cursing, right? Because the Lord associates, even if they commit mistake, fine, they have offended. You don't curse them. Have you seen the Vaishnavas? Even Vaishnavas are offended, they never curse. Chaitanya Chaitanya brings out that Siddhant. Even when the great souls are rebuked, offended, they never curse. Vaishnavas never curse, right? And especially associates of the Lord, those who, anyone who curses associates of the Lord first of all, the associates of the Lord are not subject to any curse of Brahmanas. Associates of the Lord is placed in a higher position. They are not subject to curse of Brahmanas, first of all. But if any Brahmana curse, he commits a great offense. He becomes implicated in offense. So cursing the associate of the Lord, even if there is a mistake, or even if they have committed, Prabhupada says by chance, to curse them is a great offense. To curse them is a great offense. So therefore they became implicated in that now. In cursing was their mistake. Yeah, they are children. The checking. Basically, certain people. That's like we are bringing some more soft. They should not be obstructed. No, so a great personality, is coming. They should see by their Brahma Tej. No, if you say that also some enemies may be disguised, but see their Brahma Tej. Your duty is to be very sensitive and allow the deserving candidate. Even checking will be the offense. Politely, that will be maybe a smaller whatever, you know, but it will be offense. They should not be checked. They deserve to go. So there is offense in checking them, right? So I said, what is their offense related to previous thing also? Even though they have a desire of service, you know, they didn't allow Lakshmi also. They were like becoming a little bit more aggressive in their service or whatever. I'm talking in these terms. They became like overprotective and transgressed their limit. You know, Lakshmi Devi can go any time. You know, you can't say to Lakshmi Devi, you know, that you can't enter. They did that to Lakshmi Devi also. They became like more obsessed with their service of, you know, that we have a right to obstruct anybody, right? So that was a mistake on their part. Right? So then the Kaurav Kumaras, when they curse, now they became implicated in offense also. No, we'll see. Let's go ahead now. Another 5 minutes we'll discuss. We'll just complete this part and then, okay? Text 35. Tesham tirtham ubhav avadharya ghoram tam brahma dandam anivaranam astrapugay sadyo harer anuchara vurubhibhyatastat पाद ग्रहाव अपतताम अतिकातरेना.
When the doormen of Vaikuntha Loka, who were certainly devotees of Lord, found that they were going to be cursed by the Brahmanas, they at once became very much afraid and fell down at the feet of Brahmanas in very anxiety. For a Brahmanas' curse cannot be counteracted by any kind of weapon.
Okay, so immediately, now was described, as soon as they heard the curse, they immediately realized their mistake and they begged forgiveness, right? They begged forgiveness. And the next verse described that they asked them, the Brahmanas, that please, that we have realized our mistake, we are repentant, please give us the blessing that we may not forget when we go down to the material world. They didn't say that reverse the. They said, whatever you said, let it be true, but let us not forget the Lord. Right? So actually, this verse says that became very fearful. They actually didn't become fearful of the curse, or little fearful of the curse, but more fearful of forgetting the Lord in the material world. You know, so therefore the devotee is, for them, no situation is as fearful as forgetfulness of the Lord. So there are so many devotees who pray, may Lord, we may go anywhere, take birth anywhere, but just make sure that we may never forget you. That is the biggest fear. Right? So Prabhupada says that two, three places, that by chance the doorman committed a mistake. He said by chance. What do you mean by chance? You guess spiritual money, by chance? What are the by chance indicates over here? Prabhupada said by chance. Two, three times he says in the purport, you read purport carefully. Prabhupada said by chance the doorkeeper committed mistake. You know, that means exactly why they committed mistake, you know, that is not very important for you to, by chance. Huh? That is not very important for you to be thinking about. But more important is now, what is their attitude? they realized the mistake, they begged forgiveness, they accepted the punishment. You know, they realized the mistake, begged forgiveness, accepted the punishment, and prayed for remembrance of Krishna. Right? Just see, as soon as they realized the mistake, what is their attitude? That is important. You know, how they reacted to that is the most important aspect over herein. And not that, therefore Prabhupada 2-3 times says, by chance they committed, you know. Why don't mistake anyone can commit. Any great personality, the senior most GBC person can commit a mistake. Don't idealize the things, you know. It's a very dangerous to idealize, okay, this person can never commit a mistake. Anyone can commit a mistake. Take it, first of all. You know, the senior most, the chairman, any great soul can commit a mistake. But it may happen, you know. We may not find out the reason. Difficult to ascertain why, you know. And that why is not important also. Therefore, Prabhupada says by chance. He just rules out. He doesn't describe what could be the reason. By chance, it may happen. It can happen. It will happen. Right? It has happened so many times in our experience. It will happen that even great souls may commit a mistake. Fine. Except it can happen. In spiritual world, it has happened. You know. But how they reacted is the most important. What did they did after they realized the mistake? Right? They accepted the mistake, first thing. Right? If you can accept the mistake, you can correct the mistake. That is the first principle, to accept the mistake. Begged forgiveness, accepted the punishment for it. Yes, we will take the punishment. Then prayed for remembrance of the Lord. Right? This is something amazing. And therefore, this shows that how they are the personal servants of the Lord, right? By their attitude. Not that they committed the mistake makes them disqualified, but how they reacted shows their great qualification. Go to text 36.
Bhuyad goni bhagavad bhirakari dando. यो नो हरेत सुरहेलनमप्यशेषम् मावो नुतापकलया भगवस्मृतिघ्न मोहो भवेद इह तु नो व्रजतो रधोधा भवेद इह तु नो रधोधा.
After being cursed by the sages, the doorman said, "It is quite apt that you have punished us for neglecting to respect sages like you. But we pray that, due to your compassion at our repentance, the illusion of forgetting the Supreme Personality of Godhead will not come upon us as we go progressively downward."
Right? So they said, it is quite apt. It is right that you punished us. Right? So they gratefully and happily accepted the punishment. Actually, usually when a person begs forgiveness in this world, he says, "Iba maaf kar do ek bar, you know. Don't give the punishment this time. You know, I have accepted my mistake. I am begging forgiveness. Forgive. Don't give punishment, you know, in general." But actually, you see, Maharaj Parikshit and here for Jai Vijay, they said, "Let the punishment be there." Vishnu Thakur says, when four Kumaras realized their offense, they said, "Probably we can reduce the punishment." He said, "No. Don't do that. By this punishment, we'll be purified." So one should accept the punishment actually for purification. One should not always try to evade the punishment. You know, in this world, the nature is to evade the punishment. But one should accept the punishment. Jayavijaya said, "Don't do anything. Let the punishment be there. It will free us from the offense of, from the Vaishnava offense. It is free us from the great aparad which we are committed toward the Vaishnava." Okay? Like that. So that was their attitude. They didn't want that to be reduced or forgiven. They wanted the punishment. And this is something amazing. So actually, when one accepts, then they accepted the curse as a blessing. You know, as soon as person accepts the punishment, right? Then even any great any awkward situation, when it is accepted in the light of Krishna consciousness, actually turn into blessing. Any awkward situation, you know. So therefore, this the four Kumara said, actually your punishment will destroy our offense, and we think that your curse will be actually a blessing to us. Right? In the right frame of attitude, right, the punishment actually becomes a blessing. That is being pointed out here in, and demonstrated herein by the associates of the Lord. Right? Okay, so now the last verse we'll discuss in just 2 minutes. Evam tadaiva Bhagavan Aravinda Nabha Swanam Vibuddhya Sadatikramam Arya Hridaya Tasmin Yajo Paramahamsa Mahamuninam. Anveshaniya Charano Chalayan Sahashri.
At that very moment, the Lord, who is called Padmanabha because of the lotus grows from his navel and who is the delight of the righteous learners about the insult offered by his own servant to the saints, accomplished by his spouse, the goddess of fortune, he went to the spot on those very feet sought for by reckless and great sages.
Okay, so now the Lord decided to come to the site, right? It's very important. So, okay, so now the four Kumaras, after cursing, they thought, we have offended the Lord because we have cursed two devotees of the Lord. Oh, what shall we do now? We have been conquered by anger, right? So, what happened? There, the sages, by cursing, by committing that, when they realize that, their pride in being equipoise saint, you know, never becoming angry and all that, that were destroyed. And their repentance led to humility. And that humility led to bhakti in their heart. Similarly, the repentance of the Jayavijaya, right? They also repented committing offense. Repentance leads to humility, right? A person repents, it has to be, humility has to appear in the heart for repentance to take place, right? Only humble person can repent his, right? And that only a humble heart bhakti can appear. So now the pride of the saints were destroyed in being equipoised, right? No, the Brahma Bhut Prasanna Atma Na Sochiti Na Kangshiti, they never lament. But the Brahmanas, now they lamented. You know, the first time they ever lamented their action. Before that they never lamented, they were always equipoised, right? A person who had never committed a mistake, he will never lament, right? For him there is no. So because they committed this mistake and now they lamented, their pride was destroyed, humility within the heart, and now their heart became a fertile ground for bhakti to appear. For both the, so in the incident, Jayavijaya also had some kind of fault in their mentality because they stole Lakshmi Devi also. And they were also proud of being their equipoised saints. And so both of them, when they were bathed, Vishwanath Thakur says, when they got the shower, they were bathed, I'll just read the exact words. Yeah. When they bathe themselves in the water drops arising from the ocean of inner humility, when they both became humble, so there was an ocean of humility, and when they were bathed in that water, right, that time the Lord decided, now I will go, because they both are now fit to receive bhakti, both the parties. Now they both had experienced humility, so their humility, Vishwanath Thakur says, the Lord then appeared there to prove that bhakti attracts him. Right? So because their hearts were humble and bhakti appeared in their heart, being attracted, the Lord is coming now by both Brahmanas and this. You understand? So it's a very beautiful scene, you know. Both the offended, both the parties were implicated in offense. Because of that offense, they repented. Both of them repented. Both of them became humble. In humble heart, bhakti appeared. And when bhakti appeared, now the Lord is appearing on the scene, being attracted by bhakti, because Lord never appears anywhere where there is no bhakti. So Lord now decided to appear on the scene, right, to further bless both the devotees in whose hearts the bhakti is appearing now. You got the point? It's very beautiful. This pastime is very beautiful actually. It deals with the Vaikuntha dealings, you know. These all dealings are happening in Vaikuntha. You know, so we are trying to understand the dynamics of Vaishnava dealings, etc. in Vaikuntha Loka. Yes.
What quality of repentance is required in order to draw that humility? For instance, we may commit an offense towards Vaishnava.
Yeah.
And we may feel bad about it.
Yeah.
But it is stated that until we admit that fault to that Vaishnava, yeah, it does not lead to bhakti.
Yeah.
Several times we commit offenses within our mind, or
yeah,
just we casually speak about other devotees yeah, without their knowledge.
Yeah.
In such circumstances, we can't really go to them and say, "I'm sorry, Prabhu, today morning." Is it the repentance alone is sufficient?
See, repentance means genuine prayer for rectification. You know, it's a genuine expression. They are both admitted. They both admitted, first of all, you know, in front of each other. When the facility is there, they admitted. They repented and begged forgiveness, and then four Kumaras also admitted their fault to Jai Vijay. Vishwanath Thakur fills in the line, although not indicated. You know, so they also admitted their fault, and they therefore, because they both admitted and they both genuinely within their heart prayed for rectification and any other measure for rectification, there's the genuine repentance. You know, we can understand what is just a lip service sometimes, you know. Sometimes we just may offer a lip service. But the genuine repentance means that we sincerely want that we never do it again, and we pray that we may get the strength not to do it again. You know, sometime a person may genuinely repent but do the mistake again because he doesn't have the strength to overcome it. But still his repentance may be genuine. It's not that a person is committing the mistake again to show that he has no repentance, genuine repentance. It may be very weak. He may be weak also. So, but there is a genuine desire to overcome it, and there is a prayer to overcome it. You know, so like that. So they both genuinely wanted to overcome it. You know, and there is a genuine repentance, not just a lip service. You know, forgive me. Yeah? But anyway, you also did. You know, that is not, as soon as you pointed other person fault also, there is the question of forgiveness, you know. But you also don't do like that. Abhi mere ko maaf kar do, par aap tum bhi mat karna aisa aage se. You know, mere ko baad mein gussa mat dilana. That is not a genuine repentance. You know, so like that. So they both repented and both became humble. In humble heart, there is a bhakti appeared in their heart, and when bhakti has appeared, the Lord is going to appear, right? So that's how the dynamics of this pastime goes. Okay, we already have I'm sorry, we spent a lot of over time, right? But this chapter has so many subtle things, right? I hope you will forgive me. But I may again go over time. जय ग्रंथरा श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे